Welcome back, Turning Hard Times into Good Times. I'm your host, Jay Taylor. Really pleased to have Dr. Quentin Hanning with me once again. Today he's here to give us an update on El Oro Resources. It's a company that he is an advisor to, and it is also a company, I believe, that the firm he works for and is a principal of also owns El Oro. It trades ELO in Canada, ELRRF in the U.S., 69.9 million shares, $2.95 in U.S. money, thereabouts, 206 million market cap. It is a story that is emerging into a world-class deposit and a very, very exciting story. Thanks for joining me, Quentin.
Hey, Jay. Always a pleasure.
Really good to have you again. Last time we talked to you about El Oro was May 10th. And since then, there have been some spectacular intercepts reported by the company. I mean, some of the headline numbers I have in front of me, May 25th, 251 meters, grading 160 grams silver equivalent. June 14th, 88.66 meters, grading 146 grams of gold, silver equivalent. And then July 21st, really the biggest of them all so far, I think, 349 meters, grading 188.6 grams per ton silver equivalent. And those, when I looked at those numbers and sort of put them into terms of gold and then looked at gram meters, they seem pretty spectacular to me, Quentin. Is that the way you see it?
Very much so, yeah. I do the same thing, Jason. I'm chuckling because I do almost the exact same thing as what you're describing. Yeah, look at 188 gram silver equivalent per ton, you know, that, it depending on what you use. I mean, right now the silver gold ratio has spiked up because of whatever. Now everything's kind of fallen, but you know, it's, if you use 80, let's say, okay, you get about a little over 2 grams, 2.25 grams or something like that per ton. And 350 meters, I mean, that's just mind-boggling.
Yeah, so, it really is. But you know, this is not just an occasional hit. An awful lot of drilling has taken place into this an area that they're really looking, I guess, to put together their maiden resource in the not too distant future, I'm hoping. Can you give us an idea? And you've done a wonderful job. If people go to Crescat Gets Active, your last video this last Friday, really sort of, you know, you did a three-dimensional picture that really helps people get a sense of how this thing hangs together. Could you just talk a little bit about the dimensions of what we know so far based on the drilling that's taken place today?
Sure. Yes. First of all, I'll talk about these types of systems. They are what we call polymetallic systems, and that means they have a lot of different metals in them. In this case, they have silver, zinc, lead, tin, there's even a bit of gold, there's even a bit of copper. And the scale of this thing is impressive. There's a lot of systems in Bolivia that are quite large. They're, you know, Bolivia's well endowed with this particular type of deposit. But this one in particular seems to be extraordinarily big. Right now, from north to south, I think the total length of mineralization is around 2.2 kilometers. From surface down to the deepest drilling that's been done on the property, you know, we see intercepts down a kilometer, and it's open at depth. And then the width is approaching a kilometer as well. So, you know, and it's open. It's still open. There's nothing has closed this thing off. You know, what I think is important for people to understand, though, is, you know, this thing will, there's definitely a lot of mineralization here. We'll underpin a large resource, but what's really exciting here, just recently, like with this news release, is they've identified a particularly, you know, a notable higher grade zone around the Santa Barbara area and in the southern Santa Barbara area, where that drill intercept that you mentioned a minute ago came from. It's 349 meters of 188 gram per ton silver equivalent. And that's really starting. It was an underground hole, okay, so it's collared in a small adit, an underground working, that's about 100 meters below surface. But it was mineralized from the start of the hole, you know, down nearly 350 meters continuously. That's extraordinary. I mean, you know, anybody that has any level of doubt around this system and its capacity to generate a remarkable mine, that hole pretty much kills that. Okay, you've got a killer deposit here. I show them the 3D model that I put on Friday, you know, what a pit might look like. You can kind of, you know, look at the video and you can imagine just drawing a pit, drawing a cone-shaped pit around any of that, and you'll see that the mineralization drilled to date should form an exquisite open pit deposit. I would say there's virtually no stripping off surface. I mean, there's going to be a bit of oxide at the top that you have to take off, meaning, you know, there's no mineralization in it because it's oxidized away. But it's pretty thin, you know, so you strip that off. But then once you get down into the deposit, I mean, you know, probably the volume of mineralization within the Santa Barbara area is like 70 or 80%. So your internal waste is really your only stripping. And, you know, that's minimal. So what's not to like?
Yeah. Well, yeah. Of course, we're looking forward to a maiden resource, and the company keeps expanding the size of the middle of the resource. So I don't know, do they have a firm date for coming up with a resource, or is that still open? Depending on
it's still open, and you know, I actually am one of the advocates that kind of push to keep it open because I think, you know, like why would you stop drilling and announce a resource when you're halfway through and you're still hitting holes like this? It doesn't make any sense. So, yeah. You know, I guess I would advocate the company should certainly at least drill off or, you know, close off this higher grade Santa Barbara area before they announce a resource, but maybe even, you know, we'll see. I mean, there's plenty of runway down to the south there where they continue drilling too. So maybe they hit in even more. Who knows?
Yeah, there's a series of breccia pipes, and I think one that I've noticed is the Porco Central pipe, which is in the south of this caldera formation. My question is, to what extent are they focused on that Santa Barbara area that they're sort of building a resource around, I would think. That was, you know, to what extent are they really wanting to close that off and come up with a number, or to what extent are they stepping out? I mean, it's almost endless. I mean, we could die of old age before this thing goes.
That's a good question. Look, I would say, you know, the ultimate goal of any project like this or work exploration work like this is to define a resource that can go into a mine, that can become a mine. So I think once Bill and Oswaldo and team have a sense that they have something that can, you know, underpin a very large scale mine, say, you know, similar to San Cristobal or the other big mines in Bolivia, I think they'll probably round it off at that point and take it to a resource, but then move it towards economic study. I don't see any, like at this point, they've de-risked this thing so much. I don't see any other significant issues popping up. Like they've done some metallurgical work here recently. I talked about. I think I maybe talked about it on the show. I can't remember.
You did. Yes, you did on the 10th. Yes, on the last time you were on.
Mm-hmm. That's what I thought. Okay, but that met work, you know, clearly shows this thing will generate exceptionally, you know, clean and high quality concentrates. So they basically are on a good track right now. The fact they don't have a resource right yet is not a bother to me because I don't want to see him announce it with holes like this coming out. But, you know, I think, look, they're smart guys. They will put this together into a presentable picture within the next 6 to 12 months that just blows the lights out. You know, it absolutely shoots the lights out for in terms of the scale, the size of it, but also the economics. Yeah,
go ahead. No, go ahead. Well, finish your thought.
I was just going to say that, you know, I got some familiarity with the deposits in Bolivia, and I know what makes a lot of money. This should make a lot of money. Okay, this is very simple rock. You put it in a mill, you grind it down, you float a lead, you float a zinc con, and you sell the product. The silver typically goes into the lead con, at least primarily. Some of it goes into the zinc con. That's where you recover the silver. Now, the other gravy here, of course, is the tin. There's a tin component, and that could be, it sounds like it can be floated as well. All right, so you're going to have very saleable concentrates out of this, and the cost should be very, very low because you're going to be milling this at a rate of, say, probably an order of 50,000 to 70,000 tons per day.
Wow, okay. And could you give us some sense of, I know that the deposit varies in terms of its metal makeup from place to place, but could you give us a sense of what sort of percentage of the valuation current prices is comprised of silver compared to tin and maybe the base metals?
Yeah, silver in this, look, if you just break down like this drill hole, you can see right away. Silver is about 45 grams out of the 188. So what is that? That's a little less than about a quarter. We'll call it a little less than a quarter.
See? A little more.
The zinc is going to be a big part of that because zinc's 1.05% in this drill hole. So I would say zinc's going to be a bit over 50% of the value. Lead's going to be significant at 0.76%. But tin, even though tin's 1.14% in this drill hole, tin's worth a lot of money these days. You know, it's trading for around $24,000 a ton. Mm-hmm. So the tin alone is going to add a lot of value here. So I would say first zinc, probably second will be either tin or silver, and then third would probably be whatever doesn't fall in that spot, tin or silver, and then fourth will be lead. But there is even a sniff of gold and like I said, there's a sniff of copper in places here too. So,
okay, all right. Well, it certainly looks good. My engineer's telling me I have 2 minutes yet. So let me ask you, what do you think? Could you give us sort of a rough, very rough, because we realize, there's been a lot of drilling. So I'm guessing that you might be able to give us some sort of sense of tonnage based on the parameters drilled out so far, and just roughly what kind of a silver equivalent grade, give us a sort of a pessimistic view of it.
I'll break it down in a couple of ways. Okay, so if you look at the entire body of area that's been drilled out so far, you come up with very large tonnages. Now, not all of that is mineralized. Okay, some of the drill holes have 20 or 30% are mineralized, and other drill holes 60, 70, 80% are mineralized. But I would say if you look at the volume that's been drilled, I would say on the order of, just under a billion tons to maybe a bit over a billion tons in that range. And I would say that bulk grade would probably be in the 100, 120 grams, somewhere in there, silver equivalent. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But if you carve out the Santa Barbara area in particular, which is really shaping up to be a higher grade part to this, I would say you're probably looking at maybe 300,000, 400,000, 500,000 tons. And it's going to have a higher silver equivalent grade, probably on the order of 130 to 160 grams per ton, mm-hmm. silver, somewhere in there. That's my bet. And what's going to make the best mine? Well, that Santa Barbara area, that is an amazing deposit in its own right. So I guess what I would say, Jay, is that if you look at the future of this, they'll probably mine. My guess is they'll mine Santa Barbara area, much like they mine, say, San Cristobal, which is nearby. And then, 50 or 100 years from now, when most of us are gone, they'll be mining the rest of it,
So it's a giant. And, of course, giant projects require giant CapEx. And at this point in time with the world, who knows where things are going globally in the economy. That's always an issue, of course. But certainly the majors must have their eyes on this thing, I would think. The big boys must, at least their geologists must be well aware of this evolving major world class deposit.
Yeah, there are certain major mining companies that have an appetite to operate in Bolivia. You can see some who are operating there now, but there's others that are starting to kind of test the waters too. They're sticking their toe in. So yes, I think the general picture, it's interesting. Bolivia is actually moving in the right direction, in my view, around mining investment and attracting that money. And other countries, we can pick whoever you like, Chile, for example, are moving in the wrong direction. So Bolivia, I think, is going to be the beneficiary of the next wave of resource, the commodity boom that we expect to come here soon.
All right, very good. Well, I guess we just keep our eyes on the drill results. They're always amazing, it seems, when you start looking at them in terms of grams per meter. And put it in terms of gold, and I just I look at that chart that you provided at Crescat Gets Active in terms of the top 10%, the top 1%, and a lot of these drill holes, if you equate them into gold, would fall into those top levels, I think. So very exciting, Quentin. I guess just watch for news coming out. There'll be a steady flow of it, I guess.
That's right. I think they'll have plenty more good news.
And lots of money. They're in good shape. I think they don't have to raise any money. They only have, I think I mentioned, a little under 70 million shares, which is also very good.
That's correct. Yes, they're in good shape. Very tight shareholder. Sure. And we're a strong supporter.
Thank you very much, Quint, for updating us on this.